think most everybody here has been in Sunday school recently, so I've been spending a lot of time in the last months thinking about Job, and I'd like to do one follow-up tonight, something that I'd been thinking about. We touched on it, but I'd just like to go a little deeper into a question that Job brought to my mind. So, just to review, we know that Job was a godly man, very godly man. His relationship to God was the central thing in his life. By his own testimony and God's testimony, Job lived his life with a conscious desire to please God. Job said he walked in the light of God's presence and lived by God's wisdom. But then when all the calamity struck, we find, as we look through what Job said, that his relationship with God was kind of broken. He no longer felt like God was with him, but now God seemed far away. And that was terrible in Job's mind. Job was devastated by the break in the relationship. I'd just like to maybe page through a few verses in the book of Job and see what he says about that. I'll turn to Job chapter 3. In Job chapter 3, verse 23, Job wonders why light, which is a synonym for life, why life is given to someone. At the end of verse 23, he says, whom God hath hedged in. Job thought that God had built a hedge with God on one side and Job on the other. He's expressing that God was pushing him away. And in Job's mind, life wasn't worth living on the other side of the hedge from God. Turn to Job 13. Looking at this broken relationship. Chapter 13, verse 21. Withdraw thy hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Instead of being God's friend, Job was afraid of God now. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. And verse 24, wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? That's how he felt like in his relationship with God. He was afraid of God. He pleaded to be able to talk with God, but he could not. God was hiding. Job was no longer a friend of God, but his enemy. And then turn to Job chapter 23, verse 3. Again, this idea of, you know, God being hidden from Job. Job says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He didn't know where to find God. He was isolated from him. And then skip down to verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. So again, asking that question, where is God? And one more, chapter 31, verse 35. Oh, that one would hear me, He's talking about God. Oh, that God would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary, remember, he felt like God's enemy, that mine adversary had written a book. He wanted that. He wanted this relationship with God. But in Job's mind, there wasn't a relationship there. So the question that these kind of verses have brought to my mind is, why was Job's relationship with God broken? Had God turned his back on Job? Was God pushing him away? Had God isolated him and refused to respond? Job didn't know where to find him. And the answer, obviously, is no. God had not turned away from Job. I think the Bible record is very clear that God was quite pleased with Job. And nothing had changed from God's point of view. He was still very pleased with Job. Job was someone special to God. And so why was the relationship broken? Because it was clearly broken. It was because of Job, what Job thought. It was Job's view of the relationship that made it broken. The relationship between Job and God was broken because of Job's thinking. Job felt estranged from God because his thinking about God had changed. The change in his thinking, in how he perceived what God was doing, his interpretation of the events that fell on him, that made him feel completely different about the relationship. God had not changed. We know God never changes. But Job had changed. The pressure of that Satan had brought to bear changed his thinking. We know that it was Satan that was attacking Job, not God. But Job didn't know that, of course. And he wrongly assumed that God was punishing him. And that wrong assumption led him to doubts about God, thinking, as we saw in Sunday school, that God was somehow unfair and unjust. And those thoughts, that direction that Job's thoughts took, made him feel far away from God and at odds with God. And it occurred to me that by his lack of faith in God's goodness, Job was really doing the last thing that he wanted. And he was pulling away from God. So we read that verse in chapter 3 about the hedge. It's actually Job that built the hedge between himself and God. He felt isolated because he had isolated himself. There's only one thing that causes God to draw away from us, and that is sin. I keep bouncing back and forth. I don't know how much turning everybody wants to do. I'm going to give references, but we're not going to spend very long in any one verse. But if you want to turn, that would be great. So in James 4, in chapter 4, a passage we're familiar with, and I'll open so I don't misquote it. There it is. So this is James is talking about sin here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And then it goes down to say, At the end of verse 6, God resists the proud. So it's the proud and the worldly that God pushes away. Our pride and our sin can make God push it away, push us away, and pride and sin can break our relationship with God. Our fellowship can become adversarial. Enemy is the word used. But that's the only thing that causes God to draw away from us. If we turn away from sinfulness and draw nigh to God, the promise in verse 8 is, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Apart from sin, God's not going to be the one to break the relationship with us. And since Job was an upright man, we can be sure that God did not draw away from him. But what about this question? Sometimes my thinking goes this direction. We know that God allowed Satan to attack Job as a test of Job's integrity and fidelity to God, whether he was a genuine servant of God. And sometimes I think we could wonder, as part of that test that Job was going through, did God pull back and sort of let Job fend for himself, you know, as a test to see how well he would do on his own without God's help? I think sometimes we do that in human relationships, or especially as parents with a child, but also sometimes even with our friends or coworkers. If we think that someone's relying on our help too much, sometimes we will draw back in order to see or to show them that they can succeed on their own without so much help from us. It's part of a growth of a child sometimes to see that they can do something on their own. But think about it. Does God do something like that? I did find a verse we know that says that God does that with sinners, again going back to sin, in Deuteronomy, talking about the rebellious Jews. God said it. He said, I'm going to hide my face from them, and I will see what their end will be. How will things work out if I hide my face from them? But the reason he's hiding from them is because they were a perverse generation. So God was saying, if they're going to be always rebelling against me, then I'll pull back and let them try it on their own. So that was with sinful people, rebellious people. But would God do that to an obedient child of his like Job was? Could he have pulled back from Job and let him, you know, duke it out with Satan on his own? Is that maybe why Job felt that God had left him? We can imagine that on a human level, but if we think about it, it's really kind of an absurd idea to think God would do that. If you think it's really a major theme throughout the Bible that God wants us to be dependent on him. He doesn't want us to learn to be independent or try to be independent of him. You never find anywhere in the Bible that God is asking us to stand on our own two feet and stop resting in him, stop abiding in the vine. The Bible never says anything like that. It's always saying the opposite, that we should be, you know, not trying to do it on our own, but always going to the Lord for strength and for help. It's our pride and our sin nature that makes us sometimes want to say we can do it on our own. But God's desire is that we continually look to him for the answer and for the strength for whatever we're facing. So Again, that's a thought that had crossed my mind with Job, but God wouldn't do that. And just I'll just some verses I think will all sound familiar, just part of them. This constant drumbeat in the Bible that, you know, we're not on our own, but we're resting in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Isaiah 40, verse 31, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It's not them, but it's waiting on the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, talking about his experience, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Our weakness, God's strength. And Paul's response was, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I'll admit I can't do it on my own, that the power of Christ may rest on me." Philippians 4:13, again, the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things, not on my own, but through Christ, which strengthens me." And then we see a number of times in the Old Testament, one example from Exodus at the Red Sea, where God said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You don't do anything, I'm going to do it." So our problem is that we try to do things on our own. God's never going to encourage that. He's always trying to get us to trust him and to draw on his strength and power. So I'm sure that's not why Job felt alone. God wasn't leaving him to face Satan on his own. And I wonder how things might have been different for Job if he really did cry out for the Lord's help in that hard, hard time. But that's not what happened. The doubts about God that arose in Job's mind, again, under that tremendous pressure that Satan was bringing on him, that I think caused him to ignore God's help that would have been there, and he ignored God's help just when he needed it the most. We see, as we went through Job, we see that he confronted God, but he never cast himself on God or cast his cares on God. He never drew on the help that God would have given him. So I've thought through this just as a kind of a lesson, a reminder for us. You know, I think we all have times when we feel far from God. We feel like, you know, that expression that your prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling. God doesn't feel like he's there. Well, so first we should always check our lives for sin if that's what's causing it. But other than that, we need to not go by what we feel, but by what we know. What we know from the scriptures. That God will never leave us on our own. That's just not true of him. We need to believe the truth that we know, not the feelings that deceive us. You know, our feelings make us imagine a situation that's not true. But God is not fickle. He's not like human friends. He's not unfaithful. He isn't going to abandon us when we need him. And again, I'll just finish by reading some verses that promise us that. Hebrews 13, "He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that's the promise, the truth. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." We can be bold to say that even if our feelings are trying to tell us otherwise. The Lord is my helper. The message to Joshua was, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, Job was dismayed. The message to Joshua was, don't be dismayed, don't feel helpless and on your own, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, whatever the situation is. We all know Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is, you know, what, no matter how bad things are, the message of Psalm 23 is, I will fear no evil, for God, thou art with me. We know that. Psalm 37, God loves judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. He does not do that. In Deuteronomy, the people were told that God does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Don't have that response that Job had. In Psalm 145, the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will hear their cry and will save them. Then maybe let's just take one more minute and look at, let's go to Psalm chapter 10. Psalm 10. When things get tough, It's easy for us to get drawn into thinking that God isn't there for us. David felt that draw, that temptation, and he starts out Psalm 10 with that question. Psalm 10, verse 1, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? The question, when things are bad, the temptation is to doubt that God's really there. And he describes, a lot of Psalm 10 is describing how bad the situation is and how much it looks like God's not doing anything. But David knew the truth, and he finishes by expressing that in verse 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. God hadn't, even though things were bad, God hadn't left them. And Psalm 13 is the kind of goes by the same pattern. It starts out with that question we're tempted to ask. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shalt my enemy be exalted over me? That feeling that God just isn't there, he's not doing anything. But again, go down to verse 5. David expresses the truth of the situation. Despite the way I feel that God isn't there, in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So that's the lesson, the reminder to us not to fall into the same trap that Job did and let our circumstances take our mind off what is true about God's faithfulness and his constant presence with us, that he will not leave us nor forsake us. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for that promise that you are always there, that you are always ready to help, to take us under your wing, to let us hide in the cleft of the rock, when times are rough. We, in our human, in our feelings, when we, our eyes are blinded by the trouble around us and the struggle that we're in and the bad things that happen in this world of sin, I pray that you would keep our minds anchored in the truth that you are there, that you are reaching out to us, and all you want is for us to trust in you. I pray for your work in our hearts to remind us of that. Praying in Jesus' name, amen.